Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Katzkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hey, everybody. It's Allison Katzkowski. Thanks for joining me again today for the third episode in my special, unique mini-series, The Other 23 Hours. I'm super excited about today's episode because I think it's just going to hit on a lot of the general information that's out there about activity and metabolism and movement and really all the things that I think people dismiss at the end of the day. I mean, in episode one, which was 2 weeks ago, I talked about sort of the main myths around metabolism. And I shared a little bit about my story and kind of what inspired me to do this mini series. And then last week, I got into my own training and I talked about the concept of intense strength training and what that means, especially if you're a woman over 50. You know, I shared last week that I'm 57, I'll be 58 in May. And so I've really had to learn to retool a lot of my own training. Just due to my shift in perspective around what works for me at this stage of life where I am. It's been really difficult for me over the last 10 years to adjust, knowing that I don't need to be training like I used to. And when you've been working out all of your life like I have, that's kind of a tough pill to swallow. But today's episode, we're going to go a little deeper with the reason why I call this The Other 23 Hours is that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today in today's episode. Is what we do the rest of the day. So today's episode is the unsexy truth about fat loss, energy, and feeling good. Because here's the truth. What you do between workouts is what's running the show. Okay? So I want you to let that sink in for a minute. You know, it's like I said, I went over in the last 2 weeks what we've talked about, but here's the math nobody really wants to look at. Even if you work out 5 days a week, okay, so I'm speaking to all of you out there who are really serious about your routines. Maybe you're a competitor, maybe you're an athlete, maybe you train regularly anyway. If you work out 5 days a week for an hour, that's 5 hours out of your week, okay? There are 168 hours in 1 week. So I want you to think about that for a minute, okay? So what's happening in the other 163 hours is really what's driving the bus. That's really what's running the show. And that's what today's episode is about. So I want to start off today by talking about a concept that I think is starting to get a little bit more traction, and it's not a brand new concept, but it's not one that a lot of people have been talking about or addressing the last, you know, several years. Personally, I feel like as a lifelong fitness professional, that I feel like the health and fitness industry over the last 10 years or so is shifting and that you know, we're shifting more to a model that promotes more lifelong movement and longevity and a focus on habits, which personally, as an educator, I really love to see because I feel like for many years, it was really about the workout itself. This is why you've seen so many different concepts pop up in the way of boutique fitness. You know, back when I started, the big gym, the big box gym, we called it, was really the main option. You had the YMCA, you had your World Gyms, Gold's Gyms, 24-hour fitness, all of that. And while the big gyms are still around today, what's really becoming much more popular, other than the boutique fitness models, are there's so many more options that people can choose online, which lend themselves to people focusing on daily habits, which I love to see as an educator. So what I want to talk about first is a concept that's frequently referred to as NEAT, N-E-A-T. Now, what does that actually mean? Maybe you know what it means, and if you do, bear with me. NEAT stands for Non-Exercise Activity Thermogenesis, okay? So think of it, it's an acronym, N-E-A-T, Non-Exercise Activity Thermogenesis. Basically, what this means is it's basically a name that's given to every calorie that you burn throughout the day that isn't sleeping, eating, or working out, okay? So think about that for a minute. Every single activity that you do throughout the day is considered NEAT. So, for example, that might include something as simple as walking to your car, taking the stairs. You know, if you're a fidgeter, if it's hard for you to sit still, if you're one that is consistently moving around, standing versus sitting even, standing burns more calories than sitting, okay? All of it counts and all of it adds up significantly, okay? Research shows, some of the current research studies today show that NEAT can account for anywhere from 15% to almost half of your daily energy expenditure, okay, depending on who you are and what your lifestyle is. Okay, so that's a huge range if you think about it, and it's entirely driven by lifestyle choices. So I want you to hear that. These are lifestyle choices. These are things that you have control over. These are things that are personal choice. These are things that you can choose to do. These aren't things out of your control, okay? So in other words, think about it like this. Two completely different people can have the same workout, okay? Can go to this, do the same program, lift the same weights, the same number of sets, spend the same number of time in the gym, okay? But they can have wildly different outcomes based on NEAT alone. Think about that for a minute. That is like a huge concept if you really let that sink in. So if you take person A and person B, and they're both doing the same thing, okay? They're doing the same workouts, the same schedule, the same weights, you know, whatever. But yet what they do the rest of the day is that much different, okay? That can give you a wildly inconsistent outcome. Think about that. You know, they can have wildly different outcomes based on just this one metric alone. So, but this is the variable at the end of the day, in my experience, that most people really dismiss. They don't really think about it. They don't think about the fact that working in 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there and another 5 minutes here and another 10 minutes there is really significant. I don't even want to tell you how many conversations I have with people when I own my studios and when I was working in fitness full time that people would tell me things like, well, it's just 10 minutes. It really doesn't count. Well, gosh, I only walked for 15 minutes yesterday and I might as well just not have done anything. I mean, it's just think about that for a minute. There are so many people that believe that, okay? That just blows my mind. And it's very real. And I think what's driving a lot of this is there's just so much focus on the extreme workout program. You know, there's, you know, back several years ago when CrossFit was booming, there was a lot of focus on the intensity of the workout. And I know when I started teaching group fitness, you know, there was a lot of focus on the old-fashioned interval programs. You know, I started teaching STEP and other formats, and it was interval formats where you would get your heart rate up really high, and then your heart rate would come down, and then you would get your heart rate up again. And then we saw the boom of CrossFit, and now we're seeing the boom of boutique fitness, and it's all based around exercise intensity, right? Like, how high is your heart rate getting? How many calories are you burning? How hard are you working? And it's not that any of that isn't important, because it is. Quality of time spent is always going to trump quantity at the end of the day. But when you think about what you do the rest of the day, okay, what you do the rest of the day literally is driving the outcome that you want to get. And I really want you to hear that. And I'm going to talk way more about that in just a minute in terms of specifics, okay? It's a very real phenomenon, and it's really a lot more common than anyone wants to admit. So you can be somebody that trains 4 to 5 days a week and still be sedentary the rest of the time. Think about it. How many of you work out, but then you're at a computer all day, or you're sitting the rest of the day, or you're in a job where you're just not very mobile, right? Or maybe you're driving and you're in a car a lot. Okay, so think about that for a minute. You know, you're going from one extreme to the other. Research has started calling this literally like the couch potato syndrome. You know, I've read other studies and from respected authors in the health and fitness field that have called sitting the new smoking, right? It's like it's a literal health phenomenon that we're looking at, and it's all driven by lifestyle choices, okay? It's a very real thing. So at the end of the day, you can finish your workout, you can feel good about it, you can turn around and sit at your desk for 8 hours, you know, or 10 hours, or however long you work. Okay, then go home and sit on the couch for another 2 to 3 more hours if you're watching TV or kind of vegging out or whatever it is that you do in the evening. But then you sort of get to a point and you're wondering why you feel like your results aren't showing up. And you feel like that the work you're doing isn't giving you the result that you want. Okay, I know this was kind of a wake-up call that I had a few years ago. I never used to sit as much as I did before the pandemic. You know, I was teaching, I was working with clients all day, I was on my feet a lot, many hours throughout the day. And once I started sitting more, I think too, what happens is when you're used to being active all the time, you don't really think about it until one day, literally it hits you like a lead pipe and you say, what in the world is happening? You know, I'm not as active as I used to be, and I can tell. right? So maybe you've sort of had that light bulb moment, okay? One workout cannot undo hours of sitting still. It was never designed to, okay? That's not really its job, okay? And this was, like I said, this was a lot of the reality check that I had to have with myself. So I want to talk first about something that I think is incredibly underrated. I think it's becoming a lot more accepted now. In fact, I know it is. I talk to people every day who say this is a main staple of their routine. It's walking. Walking is one of the eight functional moves that we're created to do as human beings every day. Now let's review what those eight functional moves are. They're squat, lunge, push, pull, that's four, twist, hinge, carry, and walk. Those are eight moves. And when we think about how the human body is designed, the way the human body works, the way we move as human beings, those eight moves are basically the main moves that we do every single day, other than laying down and sleeping, right? So walking, though, for a very long time, I can remember as a student back in the 80s and the 90s, you know, and all I remember hearing about walking was, well, you're never going to get anywhere if all you do is walk. You won't get fit if you just walk. It's just not enough. It doesn't push you. It doesn't get you the calorie burn that you need, right? It might make you healthier, but it's not going to get you fitter. That was kind of the general consensus for a lot of years. But walking is actually the thing that requires, it's one the one move that really doesn't require any equipment. No equipment, no gym, no program. And this is part of the reason why I think it's been dismissed for so long as not counting, quote unquote. But all the research shows with walking, it's incredibly strong. All the research shows that walking improves cardiovascular health, blood sugar regulation, insulin sensitivity. This is why walking is such a huge staple part of weight loss programs and of programs where you're encouraged to keep the weight off. Walking is a big part of diabetes education for that reason, because it helps regulate insulin, which is what your pancreas secretes after eating, which helps your body regulate blood sugar, right? It's what really literally helps what you eat get to the places in your body that needs it. So walking also helps you manage cortisol a lot better, which is our body's main stress hormone. And look, like I said, I think this was in episode one, cortisol is actually a good thing, contrary to what you might think and believe, okay? People think that the goal is not to produce any cortisol, that we don't want cortisol. Cortisol is a bad thing. Cortisol helps us, you know, keeps us from losing weight. It keeps us stressed out, et cetera, et cetera. That's just not true. We need cortisol to function in our body. You know, we need cortisol to help give us energy and help us move on the days that we absolutely need to do it, on the days that maybe we're feeling lethargic and run down. Cortisol levels are high first thing in the morning. And that's part of our body's response to getting going in the morning, right? This is why one of the cases that I make for why early morning workouts are so effective. Because if you're taking advantage of the levers that your body's giving you to be successful, cortisol is one of them. And when cortisol is high, think about it, you're able to work more, you're able to push more, you're able to get more done. Okay, but having said that, we don't want cortisol to stay high all the time. And when we add walking into a routine, you know, some kind of routine, then we help regulate our body's response to cortisol. In other words, we sort of put a buffer in there so that cortisol doesn't stay high all the time. Walking also helps cognitive function. You can probably think of a few times where you've been really stressed out, overloaded, maybe you're having a really difficult time coming up with a solution to a problem. You go out and go for a walk, and all of a sudden the answer drops in for you, right? That's not an accident. That's because the walking actually helps filter your brain, literally, by helping your body manage its stress response, okay? We cannot think straight when we're really stressed out. There's a reason why when you're really stressed out, you have a hard time coming up with answers and solving problems and feeling like you're being productive, right? And when you walk as a way to manage your stress, right, it gives your body an outlet. It gives your body a way to kind of manage that stress response in a way that's much better for you. Its studies also show that people who walk regularly and often live longer. So there are longevity markers that help support walking as well. So I could go on and on about the benefits of walking. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that this is a non-high-intensity move that requires no equipment, no gym. You just need a decent pair of shoes and a place to do it. And I'll even go take that one step further and say that you could even walk indoors if going outside isn't your thing. Now, it's March in North Carolina, and we're starting our pollen season, which, you know, bothers a lot of people. I'm not super sensitive to pollen, but it isn't pleasant to be outside for extended periods of time. So if that's the case, then maybe there's a place inside where you can walk. You know, around here where I live, the shopping malls open in the morning and a lot of people go and walk indoors. You know, there are gyms now that have, you know, indoor walking tracks that make walking easy, that they sort of give you the tools to be successful. You just have to actually go and do it. But I just want to be clear for 1 minute, having sung all the praises of walking, that it's not a replacement for intense training. Okay, so I want you to hear me when I say that. So for all of you out there that think, well, I'm walking and that's enough, that's not true either. Okay, so I don't want this to be a situation where you choose it's an either or and you choose one or the other. So it's not a replacement, but it is the single most dramatic way that you can increase your NEAT, that non-exercise activity thermogenesis, and keep your metabolism elevated outside of training sessions. And that's the take-home message that I want you to get, okay? So this past year, I really got serious about adding more walking in. Now, I'll be honest, I'm still working on it. There's still days that I fight it. There's still days when I say, I really don't have time to do it this morning. I'm going to do it later. So it's a work in progress for me, and I'll be the first to admit it. But I can say since January, I've been a hell of a lot more consistent than I've been in a very long time. And for that, I'm very proud. And it's not that I set aside the 30 to 45 minutes at a pop, which I know is ideal, but I know some days that just doesn't work for me. And to be perfectly honest, when I get home some days, I'm tired and I don't want to go for a walk, right? So I'm sure you can relate to that. So I really take advantage of getting up often throughout the day and working in those 5 and 10 minute increments. I'll go outside to my car. My office is not at home. I work in an office building not far from my house. It's a beautiful co-working space, and I have my own small office inside the building. And most of the time when I get here, I park at a pretty good clip from the door, provided that it's not raining and it's not crappy weather. And well, what I'll do is I'll challenge myself during the day to get up and walk to my car and back. It's a solid 5 to 10 minutes to do that. And when I work 2 or 3 of those in throughout the day, then I feel a lot better about the fact that I'm starting to hit my activity targets. So, you know, I'm not making it a replacement for my strength training, which I've always been very committed to doing, but I'm doing it as a complement to it. And this is what makes the results that you want much more predictable, okay, and much more achievable when you allow yourself to live in a world where it's not one or the other, that you actually want both to be working together. So here's what that looks like practically. It's protecting it on your calendar the way that you protect your training. So last week, I talked about the fact that treat your workout like that anchor point in the day. It's like that appointment you make with yourself that you would never think about rescheduling, like a doctor's appointment. You're going to think twice about doing that, not because you're dying to go, mind you, but because you know how difficult it is to reschedule. And that's how I want you to think about not just your training, but how you work your activity in. Look at it as pockets of time that you make for yourself throughout the day. And the other thing that you want to think about is think of it being a minimum amount of time. So sometimes when I was working in fitness, what I would encourage people to do that were trying to adopt a walking habit, it's difficult to start with 30 to 45 minutes a day. You know, when you're starting something brand new, it's always much easier to start with something smaller that you can work up to. So the way that I would always encourage my clients to think about it is, it's almost like I was giving them a bank of time at the beginning of the day. Now, the American College of Sports Medicine, which is one of the gold standard regulating bodies in the health and fitness industry, for many years had sort of a solid recommendation of the minimum amount of physical activity that most adults would need to get in order to achieve reasonable results.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in 2 varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the AllisonK2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
Okay. And for most people, the way they defined that initially was most days of the week. Well, what does that really mean? Well, when you look at a week is 7 days. So most days of the week would be 4 to 5 days a week, right? Because that's more than half 50%. Okay. 60 to 70% is considered most days of the week, right? Now, we could split hairs and say, no, it's really 80%, but whatever. The point is, 4 to 5 days a week is a pretty safe benchmark with that. So if that's the case, and for a long time it was, the recommended time recommendation was 60 to 70 minutes most days of the week. Okay, so think about that for a minute. Let's break that down. 60 to 70 minutes is anywhere, like, let's just split the difference and say 65 minutes, right? That's a little over an hour. Most days of the week, that's 4 to 5 days a week. So when you multiply 65 times 4, right, that's what, 240, almost 260, 260 minutes minimum. So when I would start working with a new client, and one of the things that we would need to be looking at are the activity pieces they would need to be working on outside of their workout. That's one of the first things we would look at is I would say, here's your bank of time that you can work with for the week. So if you take 260 minutes at the beginning of the week, how do you manage that time over 7 days, right? And so when you think about it like that, it's much easier to think about managing the time because truthfully, there's probably going to be some days where it's easier for you to get 30 minutes or an hour. And other days, 15 to 20 might be all you've got. And maybe there's some days when it's just not possible. So when you think about spreading out that time throughout the week, it's obviously not ideal, but it puts you in a position where you're in much more control of how you're using your time. So that might be a solid approach to start with if this is something that you struggle with. I know that I had to take my own advice and start doing that myself. And there are some days when I don't walk, but there are more days that I actually do now. And it's because I've given myself some grace on how I use that time. But I have to be honest, a lot of my success is because I'm getting the smaller time periods in throughout the day. Because to me, when I'm faced with a situation where I'm like, you know what, the rubber's got to meet the road here. And if I can't get in the time, I have to figure out how that's going to work. So it's the, you know, the smaller time periods count. It's just like saving money. You know, a dollar here and a dollar there adds up, right? It's the same thing with activity. So you just want to try to think about it that way. You want to think about how you're going to be spending the time that's outside of your workout. So you want to obviously protect that time in your calendar. Think of it still like an appointment, okay? Have a minimum threshold that you hold yourself to. So I gave you the example of using the time bank if that works. Or if you're a calendar blocker, maybe you say, look at the week and you say, these are the 4 to 5 days that I'm going to walk. And you just schedule it in. And if you're a color-coded, organized person, maybe you use a different color for that versus the color that you use for a workout, right? You know, a lot of people do that because it sort of helps in their mind separate the two. So you just want to make sure with these steps that you're taking it further than just setting an intention, because you can think about it and talk about it, but really at the end of the day, it comes down to really what you're going to do about it that counts. Okay, so what I want to talk about for the next little bit before we wrap up are you know, the other habits that factor in to how you get your results. And I don't think that we can really talk anymore about habits and results without talking about sleep and rest. This is something that I've been reading a lot more about over the last few years. And I really think that as we get older, this is something that we have to think about even more intentionally. I'm not saying that it's not important if you're younger, but I think when you get older, it's something that you have to think about more because let's be honest, our bodies recover different. We usually need more time to recover as we get older because we just need more of a buffer to protect ourselves, right? We want to be able to capitalize on what our body does well, and that is adapt. Our body has an amazing ability to adapt and recover, but we have to give it the tools to be able to do that. And I'm just going to say something right up front here. You're never going to out-train bad sleep. So if you're not a good sleeper, you're not going to make up for it by working out more or working out better. Okay, that's just not going to happen. You can't outwalk bad sleep either. So sleep is where your metabolism recovers, regulates, and resets. So the best analogy I can give you is when you plug your cell phone into the wall when the battery's low. This is what sleep does to your body. And so when you don't sleep well, then your body has to recover and figure out a way to do it in other ways, which usually results in, you know, sort of a steep curve in your metabolism. You might notice a difference in how you eat, how often you eat, what types of foods you want to have. You might, you know, there just may be things, and not all of those things can be helpful after a while. I think we can do anything we need to for a short period of time, but I think long term, that's really not a winning strategy and it will catch up with you. Here's something else to think about. When you sleep, growth hormone is actually released. It's at its highest levels when you're sleeping. Growth hormone is the primary hormone in our bodies that allows our bodies to recover. This is why when you're working out really hard or you're training hard for something and, you know, you don't get enough sleep, maybe you feel sore longer, or maybe you feel like you're not getting stronger, right? Or you feel like you're much more likely to hurt yourself when that's the case, right? So, and that's because our body is not recovered. And so when you really master the sleep and rest and recovery piece, okay, then growth hormone can actually work to your advantage. And it's produced at its highest levels when we're sleeping and when we're resting. It's the same hormone that we need growth hormone too when we are training intensely. But when we sleep and rest, we want to be able to take advantage of that, right? We want to be able to set ourselves up to be successful in the best way that we can. So when we don't sleep well, what happens in our body is the hunger hormone, what's called the hunger hormones, that's leptin and ghrelin. Those two kind of work together. One stimulates hunger, one sort of tells your body that you're full. So, and when you don't sleep enough or when you don't sleep well, those hormones get out of whack. So typically what happens with not a lot of sleep is, and you can kind of notice it in not just in the cravings that you get, but you might find that you want to eat more sweet things or salty things, or maybe you don't feel as hungry, or maybe you feel like you just can't stop eating, right? And that's because your hunger hormones are not balanced correctly. Poor sleep actually spikes ghrelin, which stimulates hunger, okay? It tanks leptin, which actually stabilizes hunger and makes every food decision harder the next day, okay? So I want you to think about that for a minute. You've had a night or two where you haven't slept, or maybe you've been burning the midnight oil at work, or, you know, travel really can do a number on your sleep and your rest and your hunger hormones, just simply because when you're shifting time zones, your body really doesn't know what time it is. But this isn't really willpower. This isn't like setting your mind to doing something and just doing it, okay? And this is what I think a lot of people don't understand about sleep and rest. And metabolism is it's not about willpower and quote unquote how good you are, right? And how disciplined you are, right? You know, I think we sort of sell ourselves a false bill of goods that, well, you know, if I'm not getting results, I just don't want it enough, or maybe I'm not disciplined enough, or maybe I don't have what it takes. That's just bullshit. Sometimes at the end of the day, it is simply biochemistry. It is simply how your body's responding to either A, what's working, or B, what's not working. So sleep is not considered passive activity. It's an active metabolic process. And I have to be honest, in the last few years, as the changes I've made with my training, I've been a lot more mindful about my sleep and rest. You know, I've been a lot more mindful about having intentional rest days built in. It's not that I didn't before, but I would always try to do something on my rest days, even if it wasn't a workout. like a walk, a run, a bike ride. I might go take a class. I might go do yoga. I might do something else. Look, sometimes on a rest day, you need to just rest, right? And as we get older, we need those rest periods to be a little bit more intentional and a little bit longer, okay? So you want to treat it like it's part of the metabolic process, not like it's just something, well, shit, today's a rest day, so I'm only going to do this. We sort of have to get over that mentality. So if you're serious, really, about the 1 hour of intentional training, like I talked about in last week's episode, and being much more than just intentional about the movement throughout the day, and then you go and then blow up your sleep and rest by either staying up half the night or staying on your screens until 2 or 3 in the morning, or doing things that aren't productive for you as far as sleep goes, then you might as well be sabotaging your own results. And sadly, I see this a lot in people, especially as we get older, because of the fact that we're having to adapt with our metabolism. And especially for females in menopause, when you throw in the hormone changes on top of that, the sleep and rest piece becomes even more important. In other words, you want to be doing things that actually help you become successful, not either keep you where you are or sabotage your success. So I just want to wrap up here before I close and kind of summarize these 3 episodes for you. And I'm going to give you some recommendations here. So recommendation number 1 is treat that 1 hour of intense training, 30 minutes to an hour, whatever works for you, in your day as an anchor. Protect it, be consistent about it, make it a non-negotiable. For me, it's been training and doing the metabolic program. It's been a complete game changer for me. And like I told you 2 weeks ago, in February, it will be 6 years that I've been following the program. So if you need something that you can do anywhere at any time that works for you, okay, that's one of the reasons why I built my 360 membership. And that's because it has easy to do small workouts that can keep you consistent. I actually have my own proprietary, what I call the metabolic movement blueprint, minimalism blueprint. And that's also inside the club. And that gives you ideas and templates. These are the exact things that I do about being active throughout your day. If all you need is a 5-minute something to do after lunch, maybe you need a 10-minute something to do later in the day, it's all in the blueprint and you can get that inside the membership. Okay. And that's why I built it. That's one of the reasons why one of the pillars inside the club is dedicated to exercise and movement. Aside from the fact that I'm a fitness professional and I've been one all of my life, this is a very important pillar in success no matter what you do, whether you're an entrepreneur or not. So the fitness and exercise piece needs to be a constant, okay? It's not fluff, it's not filler, it's not some influencer type workout. Short workouts designed for real work and real results. Recommendation number 2, look at your daily movement. Be intentional about it, but track it. And it's like I told you 2 weeks ago, this year I bought a workout journal, and I don't usually do workout journals. I have to be honest, I'm a pen and paper calendar girl. I still have a pen and paper calendar, and I used to just write everything in that. But I wanted to really get much more intentional about this activity piece, which is why I bought the workout journal. Now, there have been days that I haven't been faithful about logging what I do, but for the most part, I've done a pretty good job of that, and I'm going to continue to do that. And one of the things that I like to use to motivate myself is go back and look at my progress and see on the weeks that I really feel like it worked, what did I do to make it work, right? I think a lot of times we think that we don't think we're successful when we've been successful, but we don't stop and think about what made it successful so that we can actually repeat it. You know, I think we're used to talking about what's not working and fixing it, but I think we need to be talking about what's working at the same time, right? Okay, so track your movement. Protect it like it matters. Think of it like intentional pockets of time throughout the day for you. Recommendation number 3, look at your sleep and rest. Treat it as part of the training plan, not as an afterthought. Okay, I cannot stress this enough. Okay, this is the system. I'm not going to recommend one piece over the other, but all 3 pieces count. Okay, and 2 of these pieces happen outside of your workout time. That's why I'm calling this series the other 23 hours. So in episode number 1, 2 weeks ago, I sort of laid the groundwork. I went through the metabolism myths and all of that. Episode 2, I got into a little bit more training, what I'm doing, my beliefs around strength training, what some of the research suggests. And then today, I've sort of gotten into the nitty-gritty about what happens in the other 23 hours. So here's what I want you to take away from all this, other than the recommendations that I just gave you. Your metabolism is not broken, but it's also not a mystery, right? It's not, if it's not responding to everything that you're doing, then you need to stop and look at what these three pieces actually look like for you, right? Your metabolism literally responds to every single thing that you do, what you're doing during your workout, but also during the other 23 hours of your day. The people who figure this out stop looking for the next program, the next hack, the next quick fix or whatever. Build a system. The whole idea is you build a system, you build a template that works for you all day, every day, not just when you're working out. And I started this series. I was inspired to do this series because these are lessons that I've learned about myself. And one of the things that is really reinforced to me is that it's not always about working harder, okay? And that's been a lesson I've had to learn, not just in my business, but in my own health and fitness and in my personal life too, that it's not always about taking more action. It's not always about, you know, working harder and pushing yourself. You know, it's about showing up for the whole day, right? Not just the part of the day that you feel like you're doing things. Show up for the whole day, right? So that's the invitation that I want to make for you. Protect your anchors, fill the rest of the day with your intention, but follow through with that intention and sleep like it's part of the plan because it is. So if you'd like to know more about how you can take advantage of coming into our 360 Club when you join at the gold level, which is our mid-tier, you can actually meet with me once a month for 30 minutes. We can talk about anything you like, whether it's your workout, whether it's something else. A lot of my members in 360 are business owners and they want to talk about their business more. And it's your time, basically. So if you join at the elite level, then you can take advantage of coming on a retreat with us too. So you have three different levels, right? You have the silver level where you can do things on your own. Basically, it's do it yourself. Right? You can still take advantage of the open group coaching calls when you do that, which I do once a month. The gold level, which is the mid-tier level. Okay. That's where you get the time with me. And then the elite level, which is more about getting more support from me and being able to take advantage of an Allison K retreat. I really hope this series was helpful for you. I had a lot of fun recording it. I had a lot of fun thinking about it. I had a lot of fun designing it and just having the ideas come to life. I've sort of had an idea to do something like this for a while. And I just felt like now was the time to share all this with you. So I hope this was helpful for you. If you know someone in your world who you think this would benefit, I would love it if you would share this link with them or tell them about the last 2 weeks as well. You know, because I find that, you know, it may be that you could just take parts and pieces from each episode to help you, but all three episodes, I think, really give you a solid foundation and, more importantly, a solid plan that you can follow. So I hope this has really been helpful for you. Incredibly grateful for each and every one of you for always supporting and following us. Just know that whether you're listening to me today for the first time or whether you've been with me for the duration, that we appreciate each and every one of you. That's what I got for you this week, folks. On episode 3 of The Other 23 Hours, this concludes the special 3-part mini-series on the ultimate journey of self-care. You are one step closer to living your ultimate life, so make it a good one.